KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an administrative assistant. The Shipping Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender and a janitor. The Palouse Harbor Tribe is looking for a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is looking for a part-time pull-tab sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. And today is May 29th, 2025. Happy birthday to Arlene Wilson, and happy birthday to Adrian Gallivan. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day. It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkin up to Castle Cape, small craft advisory tonight. Today, west winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet. And Friday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. And Friday, west winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory today. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, today, west winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, west winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, today, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, sunny with highs near 45, northwest winds around 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20. Tonight, mostly clear with lows near 36, northwest winds around 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20. And Friday, partly sunny with highs near 44, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 3:48 a.m. at 8 foot 3 inches, a low at 11:08 a.m. a minus tide of 2 foot 5 inches, a high at 5:59 p.m. at 5 foot 9 inches, and a low tonight at 10:45 at 3 feet. Your sun rose at 6:11 this morning, and your sun will set at 11:08, giving us 16 hours and 58 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, Senator Dan Sullivan's efforts to strengthen Alaska's military system and reopen ADAC's military base are gaining traction at the federal level. And Alaska lawmakers pass bills to financially help the struggling seafood industry. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Thursday, May 29th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi with some local news. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's efforts to strengthen Alaska's military system are gaining traction at the federal level. Sullivan joined President Donald Trump in the White House last week when the administration announced its Golden Dome missile defense system that is aimed at protecting Americans from intensifying Chinese and Russian threats and growing arsenals. During the announcement, Sullivan told the president that he is working on a Golden Dome Act with other senators to help cement the federal government's efforts. He says Alaska's strategic location is a cornerstone of the nation's missile security network and will play a critical role in the defense system. Sullivan told KUCB earlier this month that Alaska needs more military presence.
But particularly out in the very strategically located Aleutian Island chain.
Part of his plans include reopening a naval base on Adak Island, which is home to the westernmost city in the nation. Sullivan says he's been discussing the possibility of reopening the base nearly every day, and various U.S. military officials have endorsed the idea. He says he's pushing to reopen the base because of Russian and Chinese incursions in Alaska's airspace. The Department of Defense says China and Russia are working closely to be recognized as an Arctic power. On top of that, climate change is increasing the chances of competition in the area. And in recent years, the U.S. military has intercepted several joint forces between the two foreign powers in the region. In 2023, the U.S. Navy dispatched warships to the Aleutians after the military encountered a joint patrol of nearly a dozen foreign military ships. Sullivan says the increased presence of U.S. naval ships, aircrafts, and defense mechanisms on Adak could give local fishermen peace of mind as foreign military activity picks up.
And if you're a Russian or Chinese Navy and you think you're going to harass an Alaska fisherman, take a look at this destroyer or aircraft carrier.
He says leadership from the Native Corporation that owns much of the land on the island has been supporting this for years. The population of Adak is only about 50 people. Still, there is a lot of existing infrastructure from the former base, which closed in the late 90s.
And that used to be a critically important naval base. It was an air station. It was a submarine base. It was a surface warfare ship base. And it was also a huge, huge fuel depot for military aircraft and military ships.
Sullivan says he will be introducing his legislation soon with Senator Kevin Cramer, a Republican from North Dakota. Moving to rural Alaska takes a lot of adjustment, but not everyone experiences it the same way, even if they're coming from the same place. In part three of Mabuhay Sa Alaska, KMXT's Brian Venwa reports on how teachers who have made the move from the Philippines are navigating their new lives.
Kodiak High School is wrapping up the school day with kids flooding the halls. Carmela Sison chats with a few of them on their way out. She's one of the new special education teachers from the Philippines. She grew up in Manila, with a metropolitan population of over 13 million people. Kodiak's population is less than 13,000 people.
It's not the same as in Manila because I lived in the highly urbanized part, but I wanted to slow down. It's easier for transition.
Easier, but not seamless. Before she came to Kodiak in August, Sison worked at an international school in the Philippines. She says the kids there were more competitive.
In the Philippines, I loved that drive. I loved that motivation from my students, but it was always coming from a place of, I have to. Here, I want to. It's not about competition. It's not about getting ahead.
She says that was one of the biggest surprises for her. She had to figure out a new way to motivate her students.
I did not anticipate that at all. I stayed up many nights changing my lesson plan because it will not connect with the students.
Sison says she wouldn't call it shocking, but being in Kodiak has meant a lot of adjustments. She's a product of the Kodiak School District's direct recruiting trip in 2024, its third batch to arrive. And she's not the only one learning new tricks to work with Alaskan students. School districts across the state have been hiring teachers from the Philippines for years to fill vacancies during the national teacher shortage. Cindy Mecca is the Kodiak Island Borough School District's superintendent. Her family's from Texas, but she spent much of her time growing up in the Philippines too.
The first time that I lived in the U.S. was after I graduated high school. And it was a huge culture shock, even though I was an American.
She says each batch of recruits has started supporting the next.
Now that we've had really three different groups of Filipino teachers coming in, they have become the support for each other.
Sergio Gutierrez was one of the first in Kodiak to be hired directly instead of through an agency. He struggled with students at first, too. Back in the Philippines, his private school students were more focused.
You know, with classroom management, you wouldn't have a hard time, you know, with discipline for those kids because, you know, I think, well, they're afraid of the teachers. They respect you more.
Not all of the adjustments are in the classroom either. The cost of living in small towns is much higher than it is in the Philippines. Sison used to hire cleaners and home chefs or get massages for a fraction of what it would cost here.
Massage is $10 an hour home service. You can just sleep through. You don't have to drive home. So I used to get at least a 2-hour or 3-hour massage every week.
Gutierrez says comparing grocery prices still blows him away sometimes. He took his family shopping on a recent trip to the Philippines.
Like, our cart was full, like overflowing full, and it only cost me like $350. Like here, when you get out of Walmart or Safeway, it wouldn't, like, it's not like the whole cart, especially with tax here.
Superintendent Mika says some of her employees have had to learn to use amenities that most Americans take for granted, like microwaves, thermostats, and space heaters, or different types of faucet handles.
We've had to learn through mistakes that we've made with onboarding to how far do we start on the integration just into our conveniences of life and teaching them how to use those.
She even offers to teach them how to drive.
A lot of them don't come in driving. They don't own vehicles in the Philippines. They have such a robust system of public transportation.
There are some familiarities, though. About 25% of Kodiak Island Borough School District is Filipino and has an organized community. The Kodiak Filipino American Association regularly holds events that celebrate heritage from the island nation.
PhilAm is here for everybody, you know, and it's an organization that is focused on helping the community, building a community, you know.
That's Mark Anthony Viscocho, the nonprofit's president. He says one of his goals this year is to reach out to more of the new teachers as he plans cultural events like Flores de Mayo, a traditional flower festival and parade in the Philippines.
People don't know why we always have parties. It's because we want them to know that we like to have fun.
It's a reminder of the island nation here on this island in Alaska. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venwa.
That was part three of a 5-part series about U.S. school districts looking to address teacher shortages by finding candidates abroad, specifically in the Philippines. We'll be airing the rest of the series in our newscast next week. Tune in Monday at noon and 5 in the evening to hear part 4. To help pull the struggling Alaska seafood industry out of its tailspin, state lawmakers passed some bills aimed at lightening the financial load on harvesters and advance others that are intended to help businesses and fishery-dependent municipalities. The Alaska Beacon reports the bills stemmed from the recommendations made by the Joint Legislative Task Force Evaluating Alaska's Seafood Industry, which was created by lawmakers last year and completed its work at the start of this year's session. Lawmakers passed 2 task force-related bills. One of them allows Alaska fishing organizations to establish their own insurance cooperatives. The other bill shores up the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank with a long-term loan from the state to keep the cooperative organization in business. The bills pose little to no cost to the state, according to the legislative analysis. While Alaska produces about 60% of the nation's seafood, that volume is overwhelmed by international supplies and global economic forces, limiting lawmakers' options to respond effectively. Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for events happening for the rest of the week. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a commemorative open house with free admission every day till Wednesday, June 4th. The event honors those who served and remembers the impact of World War II in the Aleutian community. The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association's four-day Native It's Your Game Camp for Native youth in grades 6 to 12 continues today at Burma Road Chapel from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 in the evening, with tomorrow being the final day. The camp combines HIV, STI, and pregnancy prevention curriculum with cultural activities, painting, games, and other activities. The Norwegian Rat is hosting a library-themed trivia night tonight from 6:30 to 8:30, with teams of up to 6 members competing for a large pizza certificate. The event includes a Split the Pot raffle, with a portion of the proceeds benefiting the Unalaska City Library and School Library to help purchase books. Kalungan Tribe and APIA Wellness are hosting a free color run and tobacco-free walk at Town Park tomorrow evening, starting at 6 o'clock. Aleutian Family Dentistry will be providing dental services in town from tomorrow through June 14th. Appointments can be scheduled by contacting aleutianfamilydentistry@gmail.com or calling 907-581-3122. The Testamina will make its first summer trip to the island this weekend. It's expected to arrive Saturday morning around 9:15 and depart at 5 o'clock in the evening. The Museum of the Aleutians is offering a free hands-on program on Saturday from noon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. While the Testamina is in port, visitors of all ages can learn about the archaeology and natural history of the region. For more information about these and other community events, visit our newly redesigned community calendar at KUCB.org. Click on the yellow upcoming events box on our homepage. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at KUCB.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at madsen.com/Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The head of a project touted as a solution to climate change and criticized as a threat to the world's oceans wants Kodiak to be its next home base. The potential Gulf of Alaska project does not have formal support from local, state, or federal governments at this point in time. Still, the company is considering the waters offshore from Kodiak as one of the few potential sites for its next ocean pasture restoration project. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more about this contentious project.
I'm Russ George from a company called OPR Alaska, which means Ocean Restoration Alaska.
The man is a walking controversy. Businessman and plant ecologist Russ George has been plagued by lawsuits and was previously investigated for potentially illegal activities by various entities, including the Canadian government. Now, George and a company he founded, Ocean Pasture Restoration, want to roll out a pilot project in the Gulf of Alaska.
We're looking to do 3 years of projects in Alaska. We want to do both in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea.
He advocates for fertilizing specific areas of the world's oceans with a half a shipload of iron dust to trigger massive phytoplankton blooms. He claims those blooms would restore the world's oceans and act as massive carbon sinks that could nearly negate human emissions while restoring fish abundance. And although the scale is global, he claims the cost would only be in the millions. Representatives from Ocean Pasture Restoration Alaska, which George founded as a startup in 2020, according to reporting from Undercurrent News, presented their project ideas to the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly on Halloween last year. The organization is trying to garner local, state, and federal support for a proposed 3-year pilot project in the Gulf of Alaska, operating out of Kodiak. But none of the entities, including the assembly and state legislators, have introduced a resolution or a letter in support of the project to date. OPR aims to dump iron dust into the Gulf of Alaska this summer. George says he's running out of time to get Alaska politicians on board.
We're not a big company, and we have to sort of put our attention where we find that we're most welcomed and most encouraged. And we're frankly finding that this, buck passing, wait and see attitude, Alaska might just miss the boat.
He says he's also looking at California and New England as potential sites. George introduced his organization and projects to U.S. Representative Nick Begich III during this year's Commercial Fisheries Trade Show in Kodiak last month. George also offered Begich draft legislation and a draft executive order.
I'm here to sort of give you a package of why we need President Trump and why we've been invited by President Trump to have him issue an emergency order, an executive order, which declares the condition of ocean health and productivity in Alaska is in a state of emergency, and we can get on with the applied methodologies of repairing it.
George claims he is not at liberty to share the documents with the public because he's still dealing with the White House. He also did not offer proof that he was actually in touch with President Donald Trump, and the White House press office did not reply to KMXT's request for comment. In the moment at Comfish, Representative Begich did not weigh in on George's proposition, but a Begich spokeswoman later said in an email that when it comes to policy decisions regarding Alaska fisheries, science and data need to come first. And the underlying science is in dispute. Several scientists who spoke to KMXT and international researchers who have published their findings on ocean fertilization agree that adding more iron into the ocean will cause phytoplankton to bloom. But scientists and published research disagree that the bloom will add up with George's carbon sequestration estimates. It's also unknown which marine species would be affected and how. Gwen Hennin is a phytoplankton ecologist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She mainly studies phytoplankton and algal blooms in the Gulf of Alaska. She says the naturally occurring spring bloom of phytoplankton is incredibly important for the food chain in the Gulf of Alaska. But Hennin says warming waters and adding iron dust could cause a phytoplankton bloom that becomes harmful to the ocean ecosystem and humans.
It's generally thought, based on people's understanding of the biology of Alexandrium, which is a causative agent of paralytic shellfish poisoning, that Alexandrium is more likely to bloom when water conditions are warmer.
Hennin says generally scientists are unsure what factors cause some phytoplankton blooms, which lead to algal blooms, to become harmful and produce toxins. But that's something she and other researchers on board the research vessel Sekuliak are studying this month. For example, in one experiment her graduate student conducted, Hennin says they collected iron-poor water offshore in the Gulf of Alaska, then bottled it and added iron dust.
And so that was a little bit of a surprise to us. And kind of unfortunate that by adding iron to that iron poor water, we observed the generation of more harmful algae.
Hennin points out that this was just one experiment. She says there is a lot of uncertainty about what would happen if iron were added to offshore waters. In 2012, Russ George tested his controversial theory on an eddy off the coast of Victoria, British Columbia, roughly 200 miles west of Haida Gwaii. George, in partnership with the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation, dumped 100 tons of iron dust into the ocean and caused a massive phytoplankton bloom. Estimates based on satellite imagery put it at 10,000 square kilometers. The legality of George's experiment and what happened as a direct result of that human-induced bloom is in dispute. The following year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game recorded a record commercial fishing season for pink salmon statewide. George points to that as a direct result of his experiment in Haida Gwaii, but scientists say it's not clearly linked. Kodiak resident Rob Lindsay is a true believer and partner in George's ocean pasture restoration. Lindsay, a commercial fisherman in Kodiak off and on for four decades, believes that putting iron dust into the Gulf of Alaska could restore the abundance of red king crab, shrimp, and various salmon species that historically were Kodiak's bread and butter. The populations of many of those species have crashed in recent decades. He admits that there is a need to study the potential effects of ocean pasture restoration further, but Lindsay says there won't be more data on the effects or any way to study it without trying OPR's method first.
It's that catch-22. You got to study it, but you got to do it to study it.
Scientists like Hennin argue the potential risks and harm ocean pasture restoration could cause in the Gulf of Alaska is not worth the uncertain benefits that might come from putting iron dust into the ocean. In 2008, the United Nations put a moratorium on ocean fertilization projects like OPRs, in part because there was not enough scientific knowledge about its potential effects. Russ George has written that moratorium off as mythology, according to reporting by The Guardian. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Havi.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
National Maritime Day was May 22nd, a small but important holiday recognizing the hard work that goes into a career at sea. Alaska is home to thousands of mariners, including fishermen. KUCB's Andy Lusk linked up with some maritime professionals and sent this audio postcard.
Come on, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ready?
I'm ready.
Can I pick up people, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
My name is Caroli Gaspar, and I drive in taxi.
And you were a former fisherman?
I used to fish, yes, the last 30 years, yeah. I just quit fishing 2 years ago, yeah. Actually, I was 32 when I left Hungary, you know. We never worked more than 8 hours. Saturday, Sunday, we never worked. And was all right, but I think I did better here. We feed all world from here, China, Russia, oh, yeah. Europe, everywhere these fish go. Yeah, India, everywhere. Japan, a lot of fish.
One thing that I will never get used to here in Dutch Harbor are the prices in the grocery stores.
Timothy Davis, and I am a cook at the Norwegian Rat Saloon. Before all of this started, I was a family therapist. I had my master's degree in psychology from the University of Rochester. I did that for 7.5 years, and I was fed up with it. So I quit, and that's when I first got into the hospitality. And then I moved out here, cooked at the hotel, and then I went on the fishing boat. Most of my friends are fishermen, and I'm always listening to their stories about being out there. So I thought to myself, well, you know what, Tim? Why don't you try cooking on a boat? Let's see if you can do that. You know, everything's moving. It's constantly moving. Let's see, what other experiences on a boat? Cooking on a vessel that's constantly in motion. You know, like when you're trying to make a fettuccine or you're trying to bake a cake. That was the hardest thing, was trying to learn how to bake a cake on a boat. Well, I learned that every 15 or 20 minutes, just rotate. And if you keep doing that, at some point it starts to solidify and then you're good.
All right, take care, you guys. Have a good one.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Steve White, I'm the executive director at the Marine Exchange of Alaska. I've been here for about a little over 4 years after I retired from 31 years in the Coast Guard. I'm from Idaho originally, way back in the day, and knew really nothing about the ocean or being a mariner. And because of sports, football mainly, I ended up going to the Coast Guard Academy way out on the East Coast. Once I graduated from the academy after 4 years there, my first tour was on a ship out of Kodiak, Alaska, and that's really when the hooks got sunk into me and fell in love with it.
David Arth. I am currently a Marine pilot with Alaska Marine Pilots, based out of Dutch Harbor. When I was sailing at sea, I'd be gone 75 to 90 days at a time, in and out of port during that period. It just depends on the kind of ship you're on and the kind of run you're on. You're there to move cargo, whether it's liquid cargo or bulk cargo or containers. It's a challenging job. And if you're looking for responsibility and things like that, a maritime career is a great place to go.
That was KUCB's Andy Lusk speaking with local mariners and other industry professionals from around Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Roll! KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
My life, I'm alone like much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost such a cause. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Lullabies, look in your eyes, run around the same old town. Doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you. I've been first and last, look at how the time goes past, but I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you.
You're listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska. KSDP programming is heard in King Cove on 88.1 FM, K201DA. Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting Incorporated owns and operates radio station KSDP. APBI is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, generous corporate partners, and by listeners like you. For information on becoming a supporting member of KSDP, visit our website at ksdpradio.com.
No, don't you cry. you're gonna rise, rise up singing. You're gonna spread your wings, shout and take to the sky. Nothing's going to harm you now. Na 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 na
Gone with the wind.